an inner circle of close friends. There was Peter, of course, and James, and John. And then there was Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, who were brother and sister. But this was they were the inner circle of close friends that Jesus had. Evidently, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they lived together in their house, and they had a guest room in their house that Jesus evidently used to use at different times during his ministry. They kept this guest room for him. Jesus, of course, was always on the road. He was always traveling. He was always ministering. He's teaching. He's healing. He's going all over the place. And the crowds kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the bigger the crowds got, the more ministry he had to do. And they were always wanting more. More teaching. More healing. More miracles. And there would be times when he would hit the wall. And during that time, he would call a timeout. And he would often go to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' house, to that guest room that was set aside for them, for him, where he could chill out. He could go, get away from the crowds, be in a safe place, and they always had this place set up for him. So one day, Jesus is in this situation. He's been teaching and preaching. He's been healing, and the crowds are getting bigger and bigger. The Bible says the crowds got to the thousands. And one day, he decides, I got to get away. So he goes to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' house in Bethany. And let's read about what happened on this day when he stops by. Starting at verse 38 of Luke chapter 10, it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So let's use our imaginations here and try to picture this scene. Jesus stops by, probably unannounced, right? He happens to be nearby. He thinks, you know, I got to get away. I need to see my friends. Knock, knock, knock. Mary opens the door. Jesus, wow, what a surprise. Come on in. Oh my gosh. Frantically picking up stuff, you know. You know how it is when somebody stops by your house unannounced, you know, and you're not ready. You know, you don't have your makeup on or whatever. And, you know, you got clothes laying all around and stuff. And oh my gosh, well, there was no time to prepare the house, to make it perfect. No time to prepare an elaborate meal. Jesus has been out on the road teaching, preaching, arguing with all the critics. There's been death threats on his life. It's been crazy. He stops by. He just wants to stop by and hang out with some trusted, peaceful friends. So Mary sits down with Jesus, pulls up a chair, and they start catching up because they're friends. I could imagine Mary saying, man, it's so great to see you. How's the ministry going? What have you been doing? Where have you been? How's Peter? Is he still a jerk, you know? How's your mom doing? You know, how's the family? Oh my gosh, it's so good to see you. I've got so much I want to share with you. And they're just hanging out, talking like friends. Meanwhile, Martha is in the kitchen and she's trying to get a meal going. Now, I don't know if it was 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, maybe even 20 minutes. But at some point, Martha snaps.
You guys know what that's like, right? Martha snaps. She loses it. And she stomps into the living room and interrupts the conversation. Now, I don't know if she had a knife in her hand. I mean, she was in the kitchen getting ready to, you know, cook and stuff, right? So, I mean, some people think it was a wooden spoon. I think it was probably a knife. But here's the part that's always intrigued me about this scene, is that she doesn't address her sister. She doesn't walk up with the knife and yell at her sister. She walks up to Jesus with the knife. She addresses him, and then, in the irony of all ironies, she says, "Lord, don't you care?" Now think about that. Don't you care? I mean, this is Jesus. This is the one who volunteered to leave the perfection of heaven to come down and be mistreated, be beaten, bleed, and die for the very people who mistreated him, beat him, and killed him. And she would say, "Don't you care?" To him of all people. Don't you wish you could have been there to see the look on Jesus' face? With this knife-wielding wild woman in his face. Don't you wish you could have seen Mary's face? Like, oh my gosh. It's all over for her now. But of course, Jesus doesn't overreact. He doesn't pull the, "How dare you speak to me like that? Don't you know I'm the Son of God? Do you know what I can do to you right now?" He simply says her name twice. Ever had your name spoken twice? Martha. And then he says, "You are worried and upset about many things." It was an observation. It wasn't an accusation. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about so many things." Basically, it was, "Martha, put the knife down. Take a deep breath. You are overwhelmed. You're probably overscheduled. And you're exhausted. You've got so much on your mind. So much that has you churned all up inside. And you're making my visit way more complicated than I wanted it to be." And then he says this thing that's just so rich. He says, "But few things are needed, indeed, only one thing." There's only one thing that's needed. One thing. And basically what he was saying was that, "Martha, whenever I come to visit, whenever I come by to see you, I'm just looking for one thing. And that's relationship. That's the one thing. I just want an exchange of conversation, an exchange of friendship, an exchange of love. That's all I want. That's the one thing that's needed, is relationship with me. So Martha, if I wanted an amazing dinner, I could have arranged it. I did just feed 5,000 people. And I did make some amazing Chardonnay with a
That's hilarious.
I could have had a 5-star meal prepared. But I didn't come here for that. So, put the knife down. And just come sit with me. Come sit with us. Let's talk about how awesome God is. Let's hang out. Let's laugh. Let's connect. You don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to. But how many of you here today think that you might be overwhelmed, overscheduled, or exhausted? And if so, do you think that an honest conversation in a peaceful place with Jesus, who loves you, might help you a little? Do you think Jesus was right when he basically told Martha, "Martha, I know how to fix those blow-ups towards your sister and other people. I think I might know how to fix that. Just pull up a chair. Start a conversation with the one who could restore peace in your heart and all that churning that's going on inside of you." I want to show you guys an illustration of a fuel gauge that's on full. And what I want you to do is I want you to think about the times when you have felt filled up, your tank filled up emotionally and spiritually, what that felt like, or maybe you're in that place now, but what that feels like when you're fully connected with God, when things are going great as far as your family, when things are going great at work, everything's just clicking and it just, you feel right, you feel good. I want you to think about what that feels like. Maybe there's been times in the past that you felt that way. Maybe those of you that have been Christians for a long time, maybe you think back to the beginning when you first became a Christian, and it was just like everything just felt so powerful and so good and so right. For me, when I'm filled up, when I'm fully connected to Jesus, I feel like I'm at my best in that situation. I feel like I sense the presence of God so strong, and I just have amazing conversations with God, and I learn all sorts of things, and there's new revelations, and I pray better. I love my wife better. I love my kids better. I make better decisions. I eat better. I eat vegetables. That's usually like a sign, you know. Sarah's doing good. He's eating vegetables. Say amen or oh no, it's true. My wife knows that. I exercise. I mean, everything's I'm at my best when I'm filled up. I'm happier, I'm more joyful, more creative. It's awesome. And I can remember specific times in my life, in my walk with God, where the tank was full. Now, let's talk about when you're on empty. Think about what that feels like. Most people, when they describe the feeling that they have when their tank is on empty, when they're depleted, they use the word resentment. just like Martha, when she stomped out of the kitchen into the living room, Jesus, don't you care? She was resentful. My sister's lazy, and all she does is think about herself. That's resentment. Have you ever felt resentful? But that's not all that people feel. That's not all that we feel when we're on empty. How about irritable? Some of us withdraw into isolation when the tank's on empty. It's like, hey, where's so-and-so? I haven't seen so-and-so in church lately. Where are they? What happened? Where are they at? Some of us withdraw. Some of us overeat. Some of us drink too much. Some of us over-medicate. Some of us throw ourselves into work and we just put our heads down and we work more. Some of us escape. Social media, television, pornography. A lot of people escape into pornography. Some of us overspend. We go into debt. We just burn those credit cards up. Some of us have affairs. Needless to say, none of us is at our best when we're on empty, when we're depleted. So if you find yourself looking like Martha, veins popping out of your neck and knife in hand, mad at everybody, telling God what to do. You know that one, right? Bossing God around, like, okay, sure, okay, I'll give you that. Sure, just leave me alone. When you get to that place, then it's time for you to hear God say your name twice. Tim, Tim, Adam. Come sit down with me. We need to work some things out. You're obviously overwhelmed, overscheduled, and exhausted. You lost your connection with me somewhere. Let's sit down together. Let's fix it. So I want to give you guys a couple things for you to do this week. You can actually start here and now, but this is something that I want you to think about throughout this week. Two things. First of all, I want you to be honest with yourselves. Where are you at right now? What does your gauge look like at this point? You might even sit down and draw that, or some people use a draw like a bucket, and they, you know, how full is the bucket? Are you on full right now? Then great, that's the way, as a believer, that's what God wants you to be. Maybe your gauge is at half full at this point. Maybe the warning light is on. Others of you, you're on empty. But you need to be honest. You need to be honest with yourselves. You need to really see, figure out where exactly you're at this point. And then next, the next thing is, what are the good and healthy people and activities that you know that will fill you up, that's unique for you, because everybody's different. But of course, it starts with spending time.
time alone with God, pulling out that chair and sitting in the presence of God and having an honest conversation, and allowing God to speak into your life. So first, where are you at? And then next, what are the things that you can start doing to fill yourselves back up? Because God wants your tank to be full. He's given us everything that we need in order to be able to do that. Running on empty has to stop.
That's good.
It has to stop in our church. It has to stop here. You and you alone are the only ones that can make that happen for your own life. You've got to put your foot down and say, you know what? I've had enough of this. I'm not going to run on empty anymore. This is not who God wants me to be. God wants my tank to be full. He wants me to be fully connected to Him. And so begin to ask God for creativity on how to get your batteries charged back up, to get your tank full again emotionally and spiritually. Begin to ask Him for creativity on how to do that. You know, for me, there's a lot of different things that help for me. I mean, playing my bass does that for me. Going to the gym does that for me. Spending time with my wife, hanging out with my son. There's all sorts of things, but it's so interesting how over time we tend to get away from the very things that energize us. Oh, I'm too busy. Too busy to go to the gym. I got too much work to do. I got too much going on. We don't have time to go on a date. We're always busy. We're always working on our house. We're always, whatever it is, we tend to get away from the very things that bring us the most energy and joy in our lives. But especially time alone with God.
Yeah.
Maybe there was a time when, you know, you used to get up every morning and you would spend that 15 minutes with God. Get your Bible out, get your Bible app out, pray, meditate on God, get in the car, put Luann's CD in, sing at the top of your lungs, try not to wreck your car. Maybe that was the times when things were going the best for your life, but for some reason, you got away from all that. Get back to what worked for you individually. God wants our tanks to be full. You don't have to be overwhelmed, overscheduled, and exhausted. We're going to continue part 2 next Sunday, so you guys bow your heads with me.